Let it go. Any of you big kids want to go? That sounds real good. I like that. All right. You pray for me. Pray for our kids and all that's going on in our church. A lot of people I said on vacation, but you pray for them that they'll be back soon and hope you had a safe time. I know some of you look a little weary this morning. I know some of you just got back off vacation. Some of you had a week. Some of you had 2 weeks. Some of you just still on it. Amen. You pray for Billy. He was sick this morning. He called me. I told him, I said, you're not sick from food. It's too much vacation. So you pray for Billy as he's not doing well this morning and for the family. I want you to turn to the book of Judges this morning. Chapter 21, verse 25, the last verse of this chapter. Chapter 21, verse 25. Yeah. A lot of things I could preach on today, but I really was led back to this passage, which I preached on, I guess, about 15 years ago. But I want you to think about something for just a minute. What really is the purpose of the book of Judges? What is the purpose of the book of Judges? That's the first thing I want you to think about. Why is it here? Well, this book, the purpose for it is to demonstrate what they call divine judgment on Israel's apostasy and the problems that they were having in life. As I think about this great big world we live in today, and I think about all the ups and downs that we see, it never ceases to amaze me that they can come up with something else to just disrupt our way of living. I read an article yesterday that in California they're trying to pass an ordinance now, or a statewide, I'd say, piece of paper, that's the way I look at it, where you cannot preach against homosexuality, illegal aliens, child abuse, spousal abuse, and all the other stuff the Bible tells us to preach against. If they pass this ordinance or whatever you want to call it, if you notice that anything that starts in California will end up on the East Coast before long. And we will be in the same boat where you can't preach this and you can't preach that, and they'll have to dictate to you what you're going to preach, what you're not going to preach. Well, when that day comes, you can just come on down to the jailhouse and I'll preach to you on Sunday. Because I'm sure not going to give up what God tells me to do to satisfy a bunch of people to think they're right when I know that they're dead wrong in what they're trying to change in our country today. Huh? Yeah, please come see me. I'll need you. Amen. Bring me a cup of water when you come. You'll be in the next cell with me. That's good, Doug. But the fact I want to make here is this morning. We have given up so much in our Christian walk of life that no wonder the world is turned upside down. And no wonder we're continuing to see a decline in our churches, in our ministries, and people have actually turned their back on the Lord and walked away. Even Israel during this time, when God was with them, when God walked with them, when God talked to them, when they were supposed to meditate on God's Word, they kept turning their back against God, you know, and doing their own thing. When the book of Judges came along, you know, you can read about Deborah, you can read about Gideon and others in this book. And it comes to show you that the apostasy was running wild. There was a whole lot of disobedience to God, just like it is today. Nobody's concerned anymore about what God can do and what God is doing. I had people ask me, well, where is your God at? I said, the same place He was yesterday, He's there today. If tomorrow comes, He'll be there tomorrow. He never changes, and He never will. As the Bible says, He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the lives that we live, my friends, should be exemplifying who He is through us, through the lives that we live today. We need to demonstrate in our own lives that we need to be centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if He's not the center of this relationship, then we have a problem calling ourselves Christians because we're not what we say we are. We are to be living our lives according to what God teaches us. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And to love thy neighbor as thyself, and even more, as the Bible teaches us. And we're to take that to heart. Jesus just didn't say in John 14:6, I'm the way, truth, and life, and ended there. He said this, I'm the way, truth, and life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. You got to go to Him first to get there. The only way that you'll ever get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So the whole counsel of God has to be preached. But the world doesn't want to hear that. I'm not concerned about what the world doesn't want to hear. I'm concerned about what they need to hear. They need to hear more and more about the love of Jesus Christ and the relationship that we build with Him. Please stand with me this morning as I read one passage of Scripture. And I want you to listen very carefully. And what I'm going to say, and I'm going to read it twice, and I want you to listen to it. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Let me read it one more time. I want you to catch this. In those days, I could change that to say, in our day, we really don't have anybody running anything anymore. It's haphazard. If it feels good, do it. But what did he say here? He said this. In those days, there was no what? King in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Right in his own eyes. Take that word right and just put a circle around it, because we're going to lay right on there this morning on what it really is to be right and to be wrong. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you would bless our time this morning as we come together to share this message. May our hearts be open and receptive to what we do. May we learn to love this word like never before. Father, we need you. I'll admit it, I need you every single day that I live, and so does this church, and so does your people, this world that we live in. But Father, people need to seek you. They need to pray to you. They need to really get that humbleness about them and really look to heaven for direction. So today, Father, help us to be focused on where we need to be in our walk with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Have you ever thought about this? God uses human government to do His will. Now think about it for just a minute. God uses human government to do and to accomplish His will in life. Isaiah 9:6 said this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders." Now, as I read that statement again, I've read it many times in my life in the ministry. God raises up kings, and God puts down kings. God raises up our presidents, and God removes our presidents. God is centered in the government that we have. The problem is we have to put ourselves to be centered in God's Word so we'll know how to act and react to things that the government throws in our face time and time again. The Bible says if it goes against God's Word, you just stand against it. But today, I think we have done one thing. We have surrendered to what the world wants us to do and not doing what God wants us to do. People want to do everything that's right in their own eyes. They have no concern about whether it's wrong or whatever or indifferent. They're only concerned about who they are and how they can get ahead in life and doing what's right in their own eyes. I'm going to say that a lot today. But we as individuals have to understand something. When there was no king in Israel, God still was with them. He sent the judges to help them and continue to move in that cycle of living their lives continually. But they still had this tendency, no matter who was in front of them, whether it was God or king or whatever, they still had a tendency to drift away from God. Well, you can say, well, I'm still in touch with God. Let me ask you this question here. Have you ever drifted? Have you ever moved from this point to this point? Have you done something? You say, well, I'm right at doing this, but you found out in the end you were wrong when you did it. And then you didn't want to repent of it like the Bible teaches us to. Not everything that you do in life is right. Let me tell you that. None of us in this sanctuary are perfect. Right down to me, I'm not perfect and I'll admit it. We have our faults about us. We have our failures about us. Sometimes we're very foolish in the things that we do. But I know one that watches over me that will give me direction every day and lead me on the right path. And His name is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit that indwells me is the Trinity as we talk about it. God loves you, and God loved you unconditionally to send His Son to die for your sins. Why do we take time in the week, my friends, to walk away and to do what we want to do and not to do what God tells us to do in building a relationship and a foundation that is supposed to be close and direct to Him? When was the last time you sat down and read a chapter in the Bible? When was the last time you studied the Bible? When was the last time that you took it off the shelf and said, yes, I love this Word so much that nothing is going to keep me away from studying it, from reading it, from preparing myself daily in my walk with the Lord? See, we have to get ourselves back to where God wants us to be. There's no guarantee in this life that life is perfect. The only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ. And if we are to follow in His footsteps, we are to be preparing ourselves to what? To perfect ourselves in this life so that people can see Christ in us and know that we're living a life that's above what the world has for us today. We can see so much turmoil in the world today. Why? Because people continue to disobey God's Word. What happened to obedience and obeying God's Word? What happened to the love relationship that God has given us? See, God has established the world that we live in. God has established our goings every day. He knows what you're going to do in the next second, in the next hour, the next day, the next moment. He knows you inside and out. And if He knows you that much, my friends, it looks like to me you would try to know Him just as much. But we don't, do we? It's because we're continuing to drift away from what God wants us to do. We have a responsibility to respect God for who He is. Do we really respect Him today? Do you have that respect for God that He has for you and me? Do we love Him that much? We must think, my friend, we must not think this way, that He doesn't need us, because He doesn't need us. He can do whatever He wants to do without you and me. But He has given us a life that we are to live to the fullest potential that He has given us. And that's to walk every day on the straight and narrow path. To keep our focus on Him. You know, we can sing songs like, you know, open our eyes, Lord, you know, open our ears. The problem is, if something's stuck in there, you're not going to hear it. If you're blind, you can't see. And we need to do more than that. We need to open our eyes to see where we are, open our ears to hear God's Word, and to apply it every single day. There was no king in Israel. So everybody ran rapid, doing what they want to do. Well, have you noticed in our country today, it seems like that we don't have anybody running anything, it seems like. Trying the best that they can. Trying to do certain things. But what is the world showing us today? They're showing us so much what I call disruption. Look at all the murder rates that are in our country today. You see it? And it's not just the illegals that are murdering people. It's husbands murdering wives and children. We've seen it in the last couple of weeks. Young lady that was killed and left in a cornfield. I mean, we can go on and on all day. Go to Chicago. If you want to live long, don't go to Chicago. Amen. The fact is this, what are they doing? I mean, they're shooting 50, 60 people a weekend. Why? Because there is no rule. There is. People are afraid to go out on the street anymore. The police are afraid to go out and do their job because they'll get killed. You know, it's just a bad, bad time. How do you change all of that? You change it by putting God first in their lives, putting God back where He needs to be at, my friends. That's back in our schools, our homes, our churches, and in our lives today. That's the only way it's ever going to change. We think that we got it made. Let me tell you what. We only got it made because God has let us get this far today. But God can change that in a heartbeat. He can change anything that He wants at any time He wants to. And not you or I can say anything about it. Because God is God. We've been studying so much in the book of Samuel, you know, 2 Samuel and all the other books. And talking about King David. And how David had a heart after God. How David failed God continually. And even in the end, when he took a census and failed God and he sinned, he said, it's me and me alone that has done these things, but others have to suffer because of him. Why do we suffer today? Why do people suffer today? They suffer because they're not focused on where they need to be. And God needs to be back in our lives today. 100%. But everybody that does something thinks they're right in their own eyes. You wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be right all day long. Huh? I'm right, you're wrong. You ever get in an argument with somebody and you're right and they're wrong and you just back and forth, back and forth? What do? You just cause conflict, don't you? That's all you do. If somebody says they're right and you know they're wrong, just walk away from them. You don't have to sit there and argue with anybody. They can always believe what they want and you believe what you want. But let me tell you what. If you put God's Word in your heart, put God first, I'll tell you what, He will show you what's right and what's wrong. But we don't have a tendency to do that, do we? Because I'm right and you're not. Every one of us in there have a way of doing things, don't we? Huh? How many of y'all drive a car? Let me say, okay, every one of you. How many of y'all don't use turn signals most of the time? Okay, yeah, a couple of you. Go ahead, be honest with you. I've been behind some of you that never turned them on. So I know, so you're lying to yourself when you lie to God. You know? I love it. Go down the street, right, and somebody's in front of you, and the first thing they do, man, they slam on brakes and make a turn, and you say to yourself, where's the turn signals? What did they make those for? How many of y'all can stick your arm out a window now and make a turn? Huh? You know what it means? Huh? Do you know? Remember when you used to do that when you used to take your driver's test? You'd have to stick your arm out, you know, and do this thing. You know, I'm going to make a left turn, make a right turn. I'm going to slow down, right? Huh? Remember that? Sure, nowadays you got a turn signal. Don't even use those. You don't know what they're for. That's how lives we live today. We're not concerned about the laws, the rules, and regulations that the government gives us to follow to help us to be safe. I don't think we want to be safe anymore. How many of y'all on a boat? Okay. How many of y'all don't have your license? Okay. Yeah, we can get caught. Boy, that's going to be something too. Huh? How many of y'all know the rules of the road? Okay. I took a test here not too long ago to get my boat license. That was pretty good. You know? After I finished the test, I thought to myself, now how did these other dummies get one? You know what a stand-on boat is? You know what the red light is, the green light is, the blue light is, the white light is, and all these other lights, and when you're coming along somebody, how many toots you make to pass on the starboard, how many on the port side? You know, I can ask people all day long, they look at you and go, where did that come from? Come from the test you took. You see, we just do what we think is right. We don't pay any attention to the rules. We don't pay any attention to the regulations that are set before us to keep us safe. How many of y'all on a jet ski? Huh? Any of y'all on jet ski? Dave, you got one? Do you obey the rules of the road? Huh? Yeah, okay. You don't spray people with your jet ski. You don't cut people off with the jet ski. You don't run fast in a crowd with a jet ski. All these things that we're not supposed to do, every one of us has done it because I used to have one and I did it all. Amen. See? We're just like that, aren't we? There's something about it. We just can't follow rules. And stop signs are the greatest thing in the world. It don't mean spin tires on pavement. It means to stop. And some of you California stoppers here are something else. You know, if I was Joy and I was doing, you know, and I was a cop sitting at a stop sign and watching you people run these stop signs, man, I could write tickets all day long. That's just up here at the end of the road. You know? May's got this thing when we get up there, and I love my wife all my heart, right? And she'll look down the road, she says, nothing's coming. I said, so? I got to stop, don't I? You know, just zip right on through, right? That's what you're supposed to do. No. Rules are made for one thing, to follow the rules. Follow the regulations. That's why we have them. God's book is no different. Rules, regulations, how to live our lives today. He says you're to live by this book, to covet this book, to love this book, and do everything that you can to be a part of this book. But we do what we want in our own eyes. We think it's all right, don't we? Sure we do. Sure we do. And we think life is just grand, don't we? This is what Proverbs 14:34 says. He talks about righteousness exalts a nation. Still applies today, he says. And I like that part of it. Then he said this, but sin is a reproach to any people. So when you sin, it's a reproach. People do wrong. It's a reproach, he says. Hebrews 8:13 says this. A new covenant he hath made. He said the first old one that was there. From then he said, now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to what? Vanish away. You know how many laws are made every year? Huh? Do y'all know? Anybody? Thousands and thousands of laws are made every year that you and I never, ever hear about. How can that be? Check the Congress and the Senate. You'll find out real quick. Every single day. it's interesting. If you will go check some of the laws in this county of Northumberland, just like I do in Richmond County, you know, you can go back and look at some things on the books. Don't hit your horse to the post there in front of the bank in certain hours. Still on the books. Last time I saw a horse in Warsaw, when I had a Mustang car and rode it through the town. Amen. That's about it. You know, we see these things. We can laugh about these things, but they're still valid. Isn't that something? Sometimes we have to make some changes in our lives that we don't want to make. But changes are not to hurt you. Changes are to help you, to better yourself, to be more alive and concerned about things around you. In other words, we're setting our ways. Amen. How many of y'all are setting your ways today? Go ahead, raise your hand. Go ahead, every one of you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sure we are. Why is that? Because we don't want to change. If your wife tells you to do something, the warning is, well, I don't want to do that. I have to change something. And she says, I don't care. Change it anyway. Yeah, sure you change it. What about God's Word when He says you are to be what? A new creature in Christ. You're to change from what you used to something better, He says. Then all of a sudden you tell the Lord, I don't need any of this. I'll go my way. You go your way. And you still don't have Christ in your life. What kind of life are you going to live? A life of destruction. A life that's in torment. Why is the fact that God's people are unspiritual today? Huh? Why are we unspiritual today? That's all right. Huh? Sure we do. We allow sin in our lives. That's right. It filters in. And we can. And you know what's really interesting about it? It comes in and we don't even realize it. Then you get that old saying, oops, there it is. You know what happened? Where is our spiritual strength at today? Should be in Him. Always. Why are we unspiritual today? Because we do what's right in our own eyes. We're not living our lives according to God's Word. Every time we do something against God, it's sin against God. Every time we turn our back on God, my friend, and walk away from God when He tells us to make a change in our lives, you're sinning against God. God wants one thing for you. He wants you to be perfected in His work, in His Word, and in the relationship. And you can only do that by spending time with God. That's the only way you can do it. You want to be spiritually alive today? Get in the book. Get your prayer life turned around. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up, James says. You know? Always like 2 Chronicles 7:14. How many of y'all know that scripture? You know? Humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, and I will hear. You know, that's what we got to do. We got to get back to where God wants us to be. That attitude of being humble before God. Have you ever read the Beatitudes? You know? Ever read those? Think of what God has for you to do. The Bible says that you and I are to be what? Light of the world. Salt. You know what's the most irritating thing to me? To need a flashlight, reach up on the shelf, pull out a flashlight, hit the switch, and nothing happens. Any of y'all have those? Huh? You ever have those? You got a whole bunch of them? There's a thing called a battery that goes in it, right? They don't tell you how long they last. They said, you know, ever ready? You know? You see the bunny on TV, you know, he's, you know, doing his thing, walking along. Is ever ready battery, boy, it always works? Not really. You let it sit on the shelf long enough, what happens to it? It goes bad. What happens to you as a Christian if you're sitting on the shelf, my friend, and not doing what you need to do? Your battery's going to die and your light's not going to shine and you're just going to be in a bad place. Why your life is so dark at times? Because your light's not shining anymore. He says in the Bible, he says, you take a candle, put it on a bushel, how much of it are you going to see? He says, you got to get it out. You got to get it off so that the light will shine out of you to those around you. See, I like light. I do. I like the light, bright day we have today. It's the sunshine. All of a sudden, God can put His hand over and that's it. And it'll be dark outside, amen? So we need to let our light shine. And to let your light shine means that you're growing spiritually in God's Word, in God's relationship, and you're still building on that foundation in Christ. The second thing is this. You have a little salt in your life, right? Now, I know some of y'all like salt. How many of y'all really like salt? Come on, let me see. Okay, you take the top off and just do that, right? You know, you like salt so much. What is salt good for? Flavor. Boy, it makes something taste. If you're eating soup, right, you don't have any salt in it, what's the first thing you do? Man, you pour half a bushel in there, and your wife says, all right, you put a whole lot in there, and you say, yeah, but it ain't enough for me. You know, you put some more. See, our salt is to do what? To savor, to freshen things up, to get a better taste out of it. Where are we today in that relationship? Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, just for a few minutes. Look what he says in verse 3. Now, I want you to catch these, because these Beatitudes really should lighten us up a little bit this morning to see where we are. He said this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. How do you want to look at that? Blessed are the poor in spirit. My friend, let me tell you what. When you think about yourself today, poor in spirit, right? What does that really mean? That's all they need. They don't need anything else. They don't have to be rich in the world. They don't have to be rich in money and stuff like that. But they show what the expression of God through the lives they're living, whether they have it or have not. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. How do you mourn? What do you mourn over? He said, mourn over your sin, he says. Because your sin is what really what has overcome you. It's just like going to a funeral service when you mourn over somebody. He said, your sin's the same way. How do you do that? You get comfort from that. Why? Because you recognize where you are. The next thing is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, I want you to realize, son, that don't mean meek or weak. It means strength under control, that you've got it, you know, that you can control this part of you. Because he said in that verse, the last part of it, what? They shall inherit the earth. Those that love the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When's the last time you were filled up? Dinner last night, amen. How about being filled on this book right here? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? In John 1:1, that's what it tells us. He says that you are to study to prove and to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. He says, in other words, be diligent in what you do in God's Word. Live by the book, he says, to be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. I'm glad I serve a merciful, loving God. Man, where would I be if I wasn't in that relationship? Back there, living like I used to. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does the Bible say about that? He said, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord one day. You may be here this morning, maybe you don't have Christ in your life, but one day when you stand before Him, guess what? You're going to bow, all right. You're going to be on your knees before Him because you're going to be crying when He looks at you and says, depart from me, I never knew you. That'd be a sad day. But there'd be many people going the other way because they don't know the right way. And the only right way is through Jesus Christ. Yeah, we keep doing things right in our own eyes and see where it's going to get you to. Destruction, it says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, that's one thing about Christians. We'd be peacemakers, not troublemakers. You ever know how many troublemakers you have in the church? You ever been in a church where you had troublemakers? I have. They're no fun. They're no fun when they're causing problems. You know why? Because they quench the Spirit of God. And everything in the church starts to follow that way. Instead of following what God wants us to do. And praying for those people. Do you ever think what God can do? When you get off a track. And don't listen. He can actually take you on home if He wants to. And there's not one thing you can do about it. It's sad. Because people are like that. People don't care about what God has for us. We are to be peacemakers. Blessed are they which what? Are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That goes back to one thing. If you're doing the right thing for Jesus Christ and for God Almighty, my friends, when people persecute you, don't worry about it because God's got you back. He's going to hold on to you. He's going to love you and take care of you. That's God. That's the Savior that we serve today. Now look at the next part. Blessed are ye when men shall what? Revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. And then he said, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, he said, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Man, they persecuted the prophets, they persecuted Jesus Christ, put him on a cross, he died for you, he rose again. And my friends, if he did all that for us, we can overcome whatever the world throws at us. Doesn't make any difference. But people want to do what's right in their own eyes. They don't want to live for the Lord like we should. G. Campbell Morgan said this, that the church did the most for the world, he said. The church did most for the world. Think about it for just a minute. We're doing a lot for the world today as a church. But he also added something to the comment. He said this. He said that we can do more today than ever before if the church was the least in the world. And what he meant by this is this. Don't follow what the world is telling you to do out there. Follow what the book tells you and what God tells you and what we should be doing in the church and living our lives accordingly. That the church did most of the world, he says, when the church was least in the world. We can do more for the world if we remember not to be involved in the middle of it, but to let people know that we voice our opinions because we are living by God's Word and not by the government and the world that's around us today, but by Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and not by the devil. And the devil loves you. He said, you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2:1. He said it very plainly. He has done what? He's quickened us that we're living our lives according to the world out here, following the prince of power of the area talks about it. He said, but now, guess what? You're a changed individual because what? Because Christ lives in you. For by grace are ye saved, he said. Not of yourselves, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man would boast about it. Man, if I could save myself and lay hands on you and save you, it would be the greatest thing in the world. I can't do that. Only the Spirit of God touching you can move you and make your life what it should be today. See, God wants what? He wants all of you, not just a little bit of you. We just want to give that little bit. Have you ever noticed that God doesn't give us the whole story at one time? We get little bits and pieces of it here and there. One day he said, you will know all. Let me tell you what. Revelation 1:9 says this. He talks about things that the world has seen. He said, write the things which ye have seen. And he told John this because he wanted him to understand the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. We've studied the book of Revelation a couple times here. Maybe you have never studied it. But the God that was in the beginning, the God that's in the presence, is the same guy that's going to be in the future and in the end. You're not going to change him. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he's the same. But as I live today, in the presence of God right now, and I look down the road about what's coming, people ought to wake up in the church. And you should shake in your shoes to see what's coming. Because destruction is coming to this world like this world has never, ever seen. You can put all the wars together that's ever been fought since this country was formed, the nation and the world was formed. It's going to be nothing like destruction that's coming when the Lord returns. It's going to be a terrible day. It's going to be, as we can say, it's going to be an extraordinary day. Because there are going to be things happening that nobody has ever seen and nobody's ever thought about. But the book tells us what's coming. The end of this life that we know it in this country and in this world is going to end one day. And Jesus Christ is going to set up His millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And He will reign and rule. And after that, the devil will be loose one more time to rain havoc upon the earth. And all that follow Him and remain, my friends, that don't know the Lord, they're going to be thrown in that lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. That day is coming. And we as a church need to proclaim it to a lost and dying world. When you talk to people, what do they ask you about? Did he ask you about the end times? A lot of people like to talk about the book of Revelation. And when you start to talk about the book of Revelation, my whole question is this. You better go back and find out what Jesus said in John and some of the other books before you really look at this one, because once you get your heart right, you look at what's coming, it won't be as bad. But think about this. When you think about the Lord today, when you think about John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, where he was suffering day in and day out as God revealed to him everything he wanted him to see and everything that he wanted to tell us, there was one thing that he did. He gave us a small view of where life was going to be one day. Either your life is going to be in heaven above, or it's going to be in the portals of hell. And I can tell you this. Nobody in this room or in this sanctuary wants to end up in hell. You see, everybody wants a good life. Everybody wants a prosperous life. But as long as you try to do everything that you want to do in your own eyes and think that you're right, you got a problem right there. Because the only way that you can ever be right is to get right with the one that can make it right. And that is Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. He's the only one that can give us a new beginning. And he's the only one in the end that I want to see when I stand before him. And all I want to hear him say is, "Enter thou good and faithful servant, to the glory of the Lord." That's where I want to be. And that's where I'm going to be one day. And I pray that you and this church will be following suit to know that one day we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And the old saying was amen and amen. Let's pray. Annette, would you just come and play softly, please, and just bow your heads for a few minutes with me, please. Think about this moment right now. The quietness of this sanctuary. Think about it. Where are you right now? The love of Jesus.